Previously on Cliff and Kendall, Coast to Coast.
Literally, I want to ask this question and I'm not joking. I want to know a valid reason why every pair of pants cannot have an elastic waist.
Here they are again. Two fat people who need help. Cliff and Kendall.
You got bills to pay and the rent is due, but you spent your money all up on food. Your car blew up into a fireball. It would be nice to escape it all. To go someplace where the laughs are free, and there are bad jokes and fat hosts and bits of humanity. Ladies and gentlemen, Cliff and Kendall, Coast to Coast. We're the show that'll never say die. Ladies and gentlemen, Cliff and Kendall are your hosts. Come along for the ride, where we can laugh about everything and make it through anything. Belch in your face and hear that ding-a-ring. And occasionally we sing. Ladies and gentlemen, Cliff and Kendall and all the friends are here and ready to go. And now that you, the listener, are here, we're ready to start the show.
This week, we're going to help you boost your self-esteem.
Boost that shit.
Ladies and gentlemen, Cliff and Kendall.
Cliff, come along for the ride.
Oh.
Come along for the ride.
I'm along for the ride. A magic carpet ride. Kendall, people think it's magic time. Oh. Cliff and Kendall are on the air. This is my magic time,
Cliff,
for this week.
Anytime I'm around, it's magic time.
Expecto Patronum.
Time to do some magic.
Kendall.
Yep.
People are saying to themselves, who better to boost my self-esteem than Cliff and Kendall, the masters of self-esteem. If two people as fat as they are can get out of bed every day and meet that harsh, cruel world, then maybe I can too. There's hope for you, listener. If we can do it, even though sometimes it's just barely, there's hope for you too.
Cliff, if I had a dollar for every time the listener said, who better than Cliff and Kendall?
There are few better for every subject than us, is the thing. Skinny people, we can't do a thing about skinniness or weight loss or being thin, but every other topic.
Well, let me tell you, Cliff, let me tell you why we are the people that should be talking about this, because
lay it on us.
We have been down in the dumps our whole life for being obese.
Oh, Kendall, I was born under a fat sign.
We have had to work our asses off to bring our self-esteem up just to live daily life. So that's why we're experts in the whole self-esteem department.
It's true.
So low self-esteem, Cliff. Now, what's an example in your life where you've had just terrible low self-esteem?
Kind of when I look in the mirror and I see...
Not just on a daily occurrence. Do you have a specific moment in your life?
And I see Dom DeLuise's rotting corpse staring back at me. That's when I really think, Cliff, why? What's the point?
What do you do to get up above that?
Well, and not only about being fat. Even if we just cut the fat out of the equation, which would take hours,
we could.
Days, and months to cut fat out of our equation.
If I knew how to fut cat out of our situation, I wouldn't even be here. Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, God. It's very easy sometimes to only focus on the negative things about ourselves.
Yes.
You know, that's where we go first. And not even talking about fat, we think, I'm worthless, and I don't deserve any good thing. I don't think that there are good things coming to me.
I think that all the time.
And just comes out. That's your self-esteem. It's saying, please, boost me.
Boost me up.
But, you know, you think of these awful things about yourself. You think, I'm too stupid. Blah, 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 blah. But one thing that I do is I think of people who... like me, some compliment, and not even like a physical one, because nobody's ever given me a physical compliment, but an emotional inside compliment, and I think about those things, and I think, do I think that that person is an idiot? Do I think that they're completely out of their mind for saying that, you know, I'm good at such and such? And I have to say, no. I think that person is smart. I like that, like that person. Mm-hmm. And I really think they genuinely think that.
Mm-hmm.
So that's something that I do. I think of others whose opinions I value, who have said positive things about me. What do you do?
That's sort of what I do. I mean, I always think, like you said, like if something's happened, I'm like, you know, you're doubting yourself. And you're like, oh no, there's no way that I could do that job, or I could, you know, it's like, but no, this person hired me to do that, and they have the faith that I know how to do it. Or this person has said this or that, you know, and you know, like you said, you're like, you focus on the positive stuff. It's like, well, they wouldn't say that stuff if they didn't like, you know, how I do things or whatever, you know.
Right.
So I agree with you. That's sort of what I do. I have a little list of some of the stuff that experts say you should do.
Oh, good.
Like to get some exercise. Now, Cliff, I want to just point out that I don't care what topic it is. Every time I do research, it starts with get some exercise. So all of our problems in life can be traced back to that.
I was waiting for you to say that you go on a run when you boost your self-esteem.
I was going to say, my self-esteem's really low right now because I have an injured foot, haven't been able to run. But yes, just going for a hike, you know, or something where you're on, when you're just by yourself and you can internalize and you can just get out of the daily grind and think to yourself. That helps me a lot.
Yeah, I think one thing you need to do when you're down in the dumps, born under a fat sign like we were, stop thinking about your own f***ing self.
Mm-hmm.
Think about anything else. Think about somebody else. And the surest way to help yourself, as we've said many times before, the second thing I want you to take away from this show, this whole series, if you only take away two things, first is how fat we are, because it's not a joke, it's true. The second is to help yourself. Help somebody else, and you'll be helping yourself more than
when
you ever
help
could.
Others. You're really helping yourself. Yep, there's a whole song about it.
There's a lot of songs about it, Kendall. I was recently in the Big Apple with our infrequent guest star, Alan.
Oh, Alan, we heard him in
See, I remember
millennia.
200 shows ago, we had a frequent guest star, Alan, on here, and we were going to see a movie, and it was really funny because we got there early and he held the door open. There were these two ladies that were coming out when we were going in.
Oh, why would they say that?
They were coming out. We were coming in. He held the door open for them. And they were having a conversation, and they just walked through the door as though we were invisible. As though we were ghosts.
I hate that.
The automatic door. And, of course, Alan, you know, he said something to the effect of, well, don't say thank you or anything like that.
Yeah.
And I should have gone into a life lesson for him there. I probably could have turned his whole world around, but I didn't. I just let it go. I allowed, which is what you do when you follow the Tao. You just allow things to happen and trust that people are going to learn the lessons in their own time, unless you have a show with which you teach them lessons.
Mm-hmm.
So, but what I thought was, you know, when you hold the door open for somebody, when you do something for someone else, don't do it for the thank you.
Yeah.
You do it.
Yeah. Yeah.
For the helping them. And so that was my Tao perspective, Kendall. I am Oprah. I can't help thinking these lofty thoughts.
And Cliff, you are exactly right. Let me start by saying that. Let me also say, though,
You can end by saying that, too.
Well, I could, but I can't. You're exactly right that it's important to help people without needing a thank you. And I do, and I don't care whether they thank me. But I do get irate at people that don't. That just go through life without thinking of others. And it's not that I want to thank you. I want them to just react to other people helping them. And Cliff, that was no joke.
No joke.
Oh, God, that was no joke either.
Oh, God.
Why don't you tell me a joke?
Kendall, there was a man, and he walked into a store, and guess what he saw? A thermos. And this clerk walks up to him. Hey, this clerk, he obviously sells thermoses. He works on commission. He comes up and he says, now, may I help you with anything? And the guy says, yeah, what is that? And the clerk, he says, why, sir, that's a thermos. And the customer, he says, well, what does it do? He just woke up from a coma.
Idiot.
From before thermoses were invented.
Uh-huh.
And the clerk says, well, it keeps things hot and it keeps things cold. And the customer says, I'll take it. And the next day, this man, the customer, he goes to work carrying his thermos. And his co-workers ask him, they're stupid too. They say, what's that?
Where are these Neanderthals living?
Yeah. They these are the people who were trapped in the Chilean mine, I think.
Oh.
And He says, well, this is a thermos. And so the other miners, they say, what does it do? And the guy says, it keeps things hot and it keeps things cold. And so another coworker, he says, so what you got in it? And the original guy says, well, I got two ice creams and a cup of coffee.
That is a bunch of idiots right there.
Stupid people. Can't God bless them. Cliff, will anybody teach them the proper way?
Not little Johnny. Cliff, husband and wife are getting all snuggly in bed and the passion is heating up. But then the wife stops and says, I don't feel like it. I just want you to hold me. And the husband says, what?
Isn't that the worst?
The wife explains that he must not be in tune with her emotional needs as a woman, Cliff, of course. And so the husband realizes that nothing is going to happen tonight, and he might as well deal with it. So, Cliff, the next day, the husband takes her shopping at a big, huge department store, and he walks around and had her try on all these expensive outfits, and then he tells his wife, we'll take three of them, and then he goes over and gets matching shoes worth $200 each, and then he goes to the jewelry department, gets a set of diamond earrings. The wife is so excited, whoa, that her husband has flipped out, Cliff. She goes for the tennis bracelet. Husband says, but you don't even play tennis. But okay, if you like it, then it's yours. And the wife is just jumping up and down, Cliff. She's so excited. She says, I'm ready to go. Let's go to the cash register. Husband says, no, 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 honey. We're not going to buy any of this stuff. And the wife's face goes blank. He says, honey, I just want you to hold this stuff for a while. And her face gets really red, what? Cliff. She's about to explode. And the husband says, you must not be in tune with my financial needs as a man.
Oh. What an asshole. Kendall speaking.
What a sexist joke that was.
Of morons. Yes. There were two morons riding around looking for a place to have a picnic.
Uh-huh.
And one moron says to the other, he says, hey, let's have a picnic over there under that tree. And the other moron who's with him says, no, 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 let's have it in the middle of the road. And Kendall, they fought and fought and fought and fought and fought and fought. And then they discussed and then they fought some more and then they came to a decision to have it in the middle of the road. I don't know how they came to this decision, but they did. Not long afterwards, Kendall, a car came speeding towards the morons having a picnic in the middle of the road. Now, this car, this driver, he swerved off the road and ran into a tree. The tree right there. And the moron says, now, see, if we were over there under that tree, we'd be dead right now.
It was the thermos that saved the moron's life.
It was the thermos, no doubt. They were having their ice cream and coffee at the thermos.
Their ice cream and coffee soup. Cliff, a rather attractive woman goes up to a bar in a quiet rural pub.
Oh, daddy.
She gestures alluringly to the barman to come over immediately. And when he arrives, she seductively signals that he should bring his face close to hers, Cliff. And when he does so, she begins to gently caress his beard, which is full and bushy, Cliff. And she says, are you the manager? Softly stroking his face with both of her hands. And he says, actually, no. And she says, can you get him from me? I need to speak to him. She asks, running her hands up beyond his beard into his hair, Cliff. He says, I'm afraid I can't, breathes the barman, clearly aroused. Is there anything else I can do? And she said, yes, there is. I need to give him a message. And she continues, popping a couple of fingers into his mouth, Cliff, and allowing him to suck them gently. She says, tell him that there is no toilet paper or hand soap in the ladies' bathroom.
Oh, my God.
Gross.
Gross, Kendall. Oftentimes we used to anyway, alert the parents to send the children out of the room. But in this situation,
we just gave up on that.
Parents, if you're listening, call the kids in. Bring them in.
Bring
I got some jokes.
Come here, little John.
Just for them, Kendall and children listening. Why couldn't the housewife find gloves big enough to fit her?
Why?
Oh, Kendall, she had dishpan hands. Now, Kendall, why did the whale cross the ocean?
Oh, Cliff, I don't know.
To get to the other tide. Why did the girl sit on her watch?
I don't know.
She wanted to be on time.
Oh,
and finally, Kendall, why did the workers at the government mint go on strike?
I don't know.
They wanted to make less money.
Oh, in more ways than one. All right.
Less money, everybody.
All right, kids, you've had your fun. Get your ass out of the room.
That's it, kids. Out of here.
That's it. That's all you get. Cliff, a policeman cruising past a pub after closing time notices two motorbikes still parked out front. And he goes around to the back of the pub only to find two bikers, one with his fingers up the butt of the other, Cliff. And he says, what's going on here? And the biker says, my mate here has had too much to drink and I'm trying to make him vomit. And the cop says, I think you're sticking your fingers. You should be sticking his fingers down his throat. And he says, that's what I'm going to do next.
Oh.
All right, Cliff, that's all I got. I got to take a break.
That's all I got, Kendall. That's all I got, and I got snow more. I got to take a break.
We'll be right back after this.
Don't go anywhere. Cliff and Kendall are just getting started.
Look sharp, feel sharp, be sharp and listen, mister. How are you fixed for play?
Do you have plenty?
How are you fixed for play?
You better check.
Please make sure you have enough, cause a worn out blade makes shaving mighty tough. How are you fixed for play?
You better look.
Gillette Blue Blade we need.
Make some room, Cliff and Kendall are back. No, seriously, they're morbidly obese. You're going to have to scoot over.
I hope your self-esteem has risen a little bit.
I hope it rose a little bit over the break. Kendall, I hope that our listeners took a little time not to enjoy the view. But, you know, I want people to think when their self-esteem is at an all-time low, I want them to do something that they've been putting off. If there's anything that they've been procrastinating, anything, any kind of project around the house, any kind of, like, artistic, creative project, thing that they've been thinking, oh, I don't have time. Do it. Dive into it. If it's vacuuming under the couch or if it's painting the ceiling, you know, with a flower mural, whatever it is, a mural. If you have a huge ceiling, you can paint a mural of Kendall and I.
No, those ceilings don't exist.
If you happen to own the Superdome, you could paint us.
You could get our left cheek in there.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think. Finishing any task always makes you feel better, which goes along with what I was going to say, just be productive. Make time to participate in things that you enjoy.
Exactly, Kendall. I think that's a great tip.
One of my tips is get sober, but let's just gloss over that one.
To quote Liz Lemon, opposite.
And that's just too weird for me, Cliff. Let's have a good weird news.
Oh, weird.
Yeah, it was weird. Cliff, in May, performance artist Stuart Ringholt opened his show at the Museum of Contemporary Art in Australia naked. We could never do.
Never.
Unless
never.
It was an exhibition about vomiting.
Unless everybody... Here's the reason Kendall and I will get naked, everybody. If everybody... If we're on, like, one of those cruise ships where everybody's eating something that was, like, poison, we're stripping it off because that's the only way to get them to evacuate. Just... blorch it back up.
Cliff, his pieces, which were a hodgepodge of exhibits on current art world commentaries, were secondary to his insistence that all visitors to the show also shuck their clothing, Cliff. His subtext, he said, was to explore reactions of extreme embarrassment. Yeah, Cliff, we could never go to that show.
I wouldn't go. I'm sure there's a movie down the block where you can keep your clothes on.
But there were 48 nude people, 32 men and 16 women that did it.
So, imagine yeah. Men wanting to go see naked women.
I know, it's like a nude beach. All the people that shouldn't be there are. Cliff, Germany's...
I don't go to nude beaches for fear that someone will call a marine biologist to see if they can push me back into the ocean.
Cliff, Germany's Spiegel Online reported in April that police in Hamburg had charged a 33-year-old man with 96 burglaries based in part on the ear prints he left at each scene when he leaned against the front door to detect whether anyone's home. DNA and fingerprints were also collected, said a police source, but ear prints are of similar value of fingerprints in terms of evidence. I had no idea. And that just goes to show you our fat prints. If we ever burglarized, they'd be like, we found them on the fat prints. There were blobs of smears all over everything.
Yeah. See this rubbing here? You can really make out their stretch marks in this one. And everybody's stretch marks are like snowflakes. So, yeah.
Charles Marshall, 28, was arrested in Cincinnati in June and charged for the fourth time in 2 years with crimes involving exposing himself and simulating sex with the teddy bear. And along the same lines, a 36-year-old man was arrested in Harvard, Idaho in May and charged with indecent exposure. A newspaper account reported that the target of his flashing was a dog, which he had allegedly trying to entice to approach the French and the fence and nuzzle the man's genitals. Cliff, I think those people need to work on their self-esteem.
I think they do, because there's more to life than that, guys. Teddy bears and dogs. Come on.
And that's all for my weird news.
Oh, Kendall, that was just too weird for me. It was too weird by half.
It was too weird by anyone's standard.
Kendall, what? Tell me, real quick.
Yes.
Real quick. If you met somebody or knew somebody that was real down in the dumps, what's something that you would do for them to boost their self-esteem? Maybe our listeners...
Oh, for others.
...are full of confidence, but they have... friends.
Now, that's a good point.
A boost.
That is a good point, Cliff, because, you know, you can work to increase your self-esteem, or you can help others, which, you know, we do every week here on the show.
Every week. Even when we're not trying, we do.
You know, I always try to find humor to bring people. There's nothing like a good laugh that'll make people feel better. And that's you know, that's what I did growing up to get over this obesity that I was going through. Like, I'll just be real funny. That's why fat people are funny, Cliff, mostly.
We're not jolly.
We're not jolly. We're just hiding the fact that we're miserable.
It's the same way that, you know, you hear people say that comedians are really tortured and in pain on the inside. Is that they've got to make people laugh. They've got to make themselves laugh to get through the torture. And that's the same thing that we do. We've done it for over 240 shows.
Yeah.
And we're going to do it for 240 more.
And I practice that. I practice what I preach. When somebody's down in the dumps at work, you make them laugh. Give them the old razzle-dazzle.
I think that's a great, great way to do it. Just cheer them up. You know, let them know. What I like to do is say, well, you think what you did was stupid. Let me tell you something stupid that I did. And it just makes everybody feel so much, you know, we're all in this together. That kind of a thing. That kind of a thing. That kind of.
Speaking of stupid, it's time for Kendall's stupid questions.
Stupid.
What'd you say, Newman?
No, I said stupid. Stupid.
Oh, I thought you said, Newman.
No, just because we both look like Cliff. Newman, Kendall, I'm not going to call it out every episode.
That's when I walk in the room, people go, hello, Kendall.
You fat.
Cliff, what would be your ideal weekly schedule?
Oh, God. Ideal, like work schedule?
Just whatever you want, weekly.
You know, what I would really like if I had a work schedule? You know, 4 days a week is plenty.
That, yes.
3 days a week would be great. And then you have 4 days off. I think that's
the way. I've said all my life that you'd have 4 day work weeks. So you have a 3 day week, and then you can go out of town if you want. You have 3 days. You have a day to recover, a day to enjoy, and a day to gear back up into the week.
I think that's a great idea.
All right, Cliff, would you rather see the Rose Bowl parade, the Macy's Thanksgiving parade, or the Mardi Gras parade? Of those three choices, what would you go? What would you see?
I've seen the Macy's Thanksgiving Day parade. I have no interest in any Rose Bowl parade. But I've never been to New Orleans.
Yeah.
Even though we've done many Mardi Gras episodes, I've never been there. And so I would choose that.
Okay. I would choose Macy's because I haven't seen it. This is the easy one. We're just going to go ahead and say it, and then you just answer it right away.
Zac Efron.
Which of your friends has the best sense of humor?
Well, Kendall, to quote another song from Chicago, I am my own best friend, and so I guess me, I don't know. Now, of course, who but my bro host would qualify?
Of course, it's only because I went to the Cliff School of Comedy. And finally, Cliff.
And you graduated.
With honors.
Yeah.
Cliff, if you had 1 year to live, if you had the glorious ending in 1 year,
all my dreams would have come true.
What would you do differently?
Who needs more than 12 months?
Nobody. I said, what would you do differently in that 1 year?
I would tell you, I don't care what is happening, I'd come and hang out with you for like 8 months.
Rayanne for 8 months.
Rayanne for a while. She has a different work schedule, so that'd be more difficult. But our First Lady, of course, I'd go see her.
We'd all have to drop everything.
See, frequent guest star Alan, and impart all the life lessons that I never did before. Just give them to him. They're free. You know, that's what I would do. And I would run up credit card bills so high that the phrase, too big to fail, it would no longer apply to me, because I would die and have failed, and people would say he's too big to fail.
Broke that myth.
Yeah, if no longer apply to Capital One, because I would run him into the ground. That's what I would do. In addition to watching Steel Magnolias 50 or 60 times.
Well, we'd have to sit and record like 1,000 shows, so it could be like Tupac. Our shows just keep coming out after you're dead.
Oh, somehow Amy Winehouse has several new albums coming out. And so, yeah, that's exactly what we would do. So, right. So give you a good 5 more years of the show.
Well, that was a good question. I mean, that was a good answer, Cliff.
Oh, what a great answer to a great question.
What a great question I just asked. And that's all the time for stupid questions. Oh, wonderful.
Wonderful.
So much fun.
That's what everybody says about our show, Kendall. They say, this is magic time. This is my golden hour of the week.
I was talking for the listeners. That wasn't me talking. That was me talking for the listeners. What a good time we're having.
They're saying it right out loud, right along with you, Kendall. Mm-hmm. Of course they are.
I hear them. I hear them in their office cubicles. What a wonderful time I'm having. Helps them.
Whenever I see anybody in the airport recently, I saw several people, you know, listening to iPod headphones, and whenever I saw them laugh, I assumed
they were listening to our show.
They were listening to our show.
And Cliff, they're about to get ready to cry because that sad music makes everybody cry.
It never occurred to me that the ones I saw crying were just going through the sad music. It never occurred to me, but it hit me now.
That just proves everybody you've seen listening to something is listening to our show.
Of course they are.
Cliff, if our listeners are crying right now and they need some consoling, go to cliffandkendall.blogspot.com, facebook.com/cliffandkendall. Email us at cliffandkendall@yahoo.com. Give us a call on our fat line at 818-3084-FAT. Or on Twitter at twitter.com/cliffandkendall.
Oh, yeah. Why don't they do it, Kendall?
Why don't they? Cliff, I have a quote for you.
All right.
I can is 100 times more important than IQ. And that is an unknown Arthur.
Good one, unknown Arthur. Kendall. The cure for anything is salt water, sweat, tears, or the sea. Ooh. And that was said by Isaac Dennison, not Max Dennison, the protagonist of Disney's Hocus Pocus, but Isaac Dennison.
And you yourself, as much as anybody in the entire universe, deserve your love and affection. And that was...
Amen.
That was our brother in size, Buddha.
Oh, Buddha.
Not Budo. Not Budo.
Budo, we'll get around to that one day.
I saw a documentary about Budo, and I was like, we need to watch that before we do our Budo show, episode 5000.
Yeah, if Budo had lived long enough to be able to supersize things, he would have gotten to our size. Kendall, I want to tell you... extenuating circumstance to be mentioned on Judgment Day. We never asked to be born in the first place.
I didn't.
Amen. Does that not clear it all up? That clears it all up for me, Kendall. That was said by another Cliff and Kendall of his time, Kurt Vonnegut.
Kurt Vonnegut. Cliff, take us home.
Take me home, self-esteem. I'm Cliff.
And I'm Kendall. Thanks for listening, everybody. We'll see you here next week.
Oh, we sure will.
Thanks for listening to today's show, Cliff and Kendall Coast to Coast. We'll be here next time. Keep the emails coming in and be sure to subscribe.
I could buy this bitch.